Does everyone have a Bible? When you do, turn it to page 278, 279, 2 Kings 22. 2 Kings 22, page 279. We're going to be talking about repentance for these next couple of weekends. To get us started today, we're going to look at the story of Josiah. How about that? That's why I smile when Josiah was first up here this morning for a children's blessing. How about that? A different Josiah, another important Josiah, found here in 2 Kings 22. Okay. And as we read the story, it's kind of a long story, so we're gonna take our time. I invite you to follow along as I read, and we'll stop and reflect on it here and there as we read. Let's let this story speak to us about repentance, what it is, and what it means for our life. And actually, I'm going to start chapter 21, verse 19. Okay? So, I'm going to read about Josiah's father first. Okay? So, here we go. Ammon was 22 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 2 years. His mother's name was, who wants to take a stab at that? How about that for a name, huh? Meshulameth. Anybody naming their kids that these days? Meshulameth. Daughter of Haruz. She was from Jotba. Ammon did evil in the eyes of the Lord, as his father Manasseh had done. He walked in the ways of his father. He worshipped the idols his father had worshipped and bowed down to them. He forsook the Lord, the God of his fathers, and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Ammon's officials conspired against him and assassinated the king in his palace. Then the people of the land killed all who had plotted against King Ammon, and they made Josiah, his son, king in his place. As for the other events of Ammon's reign and what he did, are they not written in the book of the annals of the kings of Judah? He was buried in his grave in the garden of Uzzah, and Josiah, his son, succeeded him as king. Now Josiah was 8 years old when he became king. How about that? 8 years old. I have a son, Henry John. He's 8 years old. How about him being king? Right? So Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Boscath. Good people come out of Boscath. How about that? He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in all the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent his secretary, Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple. And have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also, have them purchase timber and dressed stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are acting faithfully." Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan, the secretary, went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan, the secretary, informed the king, "Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. and Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. So let's stop there a minute and review what's just happened in the previous verses. Right, we have Hilkiah the high priest, who's in the temple of the Lord. Right? And while he's in the temple, he found a book, the book of the law. While Shaphan, this is King Josiah's secretary, was at the temple bringing the money, Hilkiah gave the book of the law to him. Shaphan started reading it. When Shaphan left the temple, he took this book of the law with him and brought it to King Josiah and began to read from it in his presence. So what I want to know is, are you familiar with this book of the law? Do you know about this book that Hilkiah had found in the temple and that Shaphan was reading from in the presence of King Josiah? Do you know what that book is? Anybody know? Yes. What is it? The Pentateuch, all right? The Torah, all right? The first five books of the Bible that you're holding in your hand right now. That was the book of the law that he found. It was God's law to his people. It was God's instruction to his people for how it was that they should live. It was God's will for them. Kind of, now that you're my people, this is how you are to live. Shaphan and Hilkiah discovered this, and they began reading it. And he brought it to King Josiah and began reading it to him. I don't want you to worry. I'm not going to read all of the Torah to you today. Otherwise, we may be here a while, probably all the way till MC squared tonight. But I want us to listen to some of it. This was a new thing for Josiah. He was hearing this for the first time. It had been on the shelf for a long time, and people had not read it or were not aware of it. And to fully understand Josiah and who he is and what he has done, it's important for us to hear what Josiah heard his secretary reading to him that day. I'm going to read from you a variety of verses from the book of Deuteronomy. And as I read, I want you just to imagine that you're Josiah. Imagine that you're hearing these words for the first time. Listen and imagine. Imagine what effect these words had on him. Listen and see what effect these words have on you. Listen to these words from Deuteronomy. Hear, Israel, the decrees and laws I declare in your hearing today, learn them and be sure to follow them. The Lord made a covenant with us at Horeb. It was not with our ancestors that the Lord made this covenant, but with us. With all of us who are alive here today. The Lord spoke to you face to face out of the fire on the mountain. And the Lord said this, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all of your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or your daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox or your donkey or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your town, so that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt, and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord your God commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. Honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long, and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not set your desire on your neighbor's house or land, his male or his female servant, his ox or his donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. These are the commandments the Lord proclaimed in a loud voice to the whole assembly there on the mountain from out of the fire, the cloud and the deep darkness. And he added nothing more. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land you will possess. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you here today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. When the Lord brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, a land with large, flourishing cities you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant. Then when you eat and you are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of Egypt, out of that land of slavery. In the future, when your children ask you, what is the meaning of these stipulations and these decrees and these laws that the Lord our God has commanded us? Tell them, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of there with a mighty hand. Before our eyes, the Lord sent signs and wonders, great and terrible, on Egypt and Pharaoh and his whole household. But he brought us out from there to bring us and to give us the land that he promised to our ancestors. The Lord commanded us to obey all these decrees and to fear the Lord our God, so that we might always prosper and be kept alive, as is the case today. And if we are careful to obey all the law before the Lord our God as he has commanded us, this will be our righteousness. The Lord, he did not set his affection on you or choose you because you were more numerous than the other peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. But it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath he swore to your ancestors that he brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt. Know, therefore, that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to thousands of generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. When you have eaten and you are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the land that he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and your flocks grow large, and your silver and your gold increase, and all that you have has multiplied, Then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You will forget that He led you through a vast and a dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known. To humble you and to test you so that in the end it may go well with you. You may say to yourself, "My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." But remember, the Lord your God. For it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms His covenant, which He swore to your ancestors as it is today. And now, Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you? But to fear the Lord your God, and to walk in obedience to Him, to love Him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, and your soul, and your strength, and to observe the Lord's commands that I am giving you to today. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth, and everything in it. The Lord set His affection on your ancestors and loved them, and He chose you, their descendants, above all the nations, as it is today. Circumcise your hearts, therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. When you enter the land the Lord your God has given you, do not learn to imitate the detestable ways of the nations there. Let no one be found among you who sacrifices their son or their daughter in the fire, who practices divination or sorcery, who interprets omens, who engages in witchcraft or casts spells, or who is a medium or a spiritist, or who consults the dead. Anyone who does these things is detestable to the Lord, and because of these detestable practices, the Lord your God will drive you out of the nations before you. You must be blameless before the Lord your God. So there's just a small taste of what Shaphan read to Josiah that day. What do you think happened to Josiah as he sat there listening to his secretary read these words? Read these words from the book of the law, this book that has been kept on the shelf. What do you think happened to Josiah as he heard these words and he looked around and he saw what was going around, what was happening in his kingdom, what his neighbors were doing, what the people in the city in which he lived were doing? What effect did these words have on Josiah? Let's find out. 2 Kings 22, verse 11. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. Why do you think he tore his robes? Are you familiar with that expression, tearing your robes? What does it mean to tear your robes? Was that a sign of grief? Right? When you're happy and you know it, do you tear your robes? When Josiah heard this, and when he looked around and he saw the disconnect in his own life and the lives of the people around him, what did he do? he tore his robes. And then he gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, and to Ahikim, son of Shaphan, and to Achbor, son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary, and Asaiah the king's attendant. He said this, he said, "Go, inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because our fathers have not obeyed these words. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." So Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Asaiah went to speak to the prophetess Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the second district. And she said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book of the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, and provoked me to anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, then they would become accursed and laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place." So they took her answer back to the king. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. He went up to the temple of the Lord with the men of Judah, the people of Jerusalem, the priests and the prophets, all the people, from the least to the greatest. He read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the Lord. I think they were there a while. The king stood by the pillar, and he renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord, to follow the Lord and to keep his commands, regulations, and decrees with all his heart, and with all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. The king ordered Hilkiah the high priest, the priest next in rank, and the doorkeepers to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry hosts. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. Josiah did away with the pagan priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places of the towns of Judah and on those around Jerusalem. Those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and the moon, to the constellations and to all the starry hosts. He took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord to the Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem and burned it there. He ground it to powder, and he scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. He also tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes, which were in the temple of the Lord and where women did weaving for Asherah. Josiah brought all the priests from the towns of Judah and desecrated the high places from Geba to Beersheba, where the priests had burned incense. He broke down the shrines at the gates, at the entrance to the gate of Joshua, the city governor, which is on the left of the city gate. Although the priests of that high place did not serve at the altar of the Lord in Jerusalem, they ate unleavened bread with their fellow priests. Josiah desecrated Topheth, which is in the valley of Ben-Hinnom, so no one could use it to sacrifice his son or daughter in the fire to Molech. He removed from the entrance to the temple of the Lord the horses that the kings of Judah had dedicated to the sun. They were in the court near the room of an official named Nathan Melech. Josiah then burned the chariots dedicated to the sun. He pulled down the altars to the kings of Judah had erected on the roof near the upper room of Ahaz, and the altars Manasseh had built in the two courts of the temple of the Lord. He removed them from there, smashed them into pieces, and threw the rubble into the Kidron Valley. The king also desecrated the high places that were east of Jerusalem on the south hill of corruption, the one Solomon, king of Israel, had built for Ashtoreth, the vile goddess of the Sidonians, for Chemosh, the vile god of Moab, and for Molech, the detestable god of the people of Ammon. Josiah smashed the sacred stones and cut down the Asherah poles and covered the sites with human bones. Even the altar at Bethel, the high place made by Jeroboam, son of Nebat, who had caused Israel to sin, even that altar and the high place he demolished. He burned the high place and ground it to powder, and burned the Asherah pole also. Then Josiah looked around, and when he saw the tombs that were there on the hillside, he had the bones removed from them and burned the altar to defile it in accordance with the word of the Lord, proclaimed by the man of God who foretold these things. The king then asked, "What is that tombstone I see?" The men in the city said, "It marks the tomb of the man of God who came from Judah and pronounced against the altar of Bethel the very things that you have just done." "Leave it alone," Josiah said. "Don't let anyone disturb his bones." So they spared his bones and those of the prophet who had come from Samaria. Just as he had done at Bethel, Josiah removed and defiled all the shrines at the high places that the kings of Israel had built in the towns of Samaria that had provoked the Lord to anger. Josiah slaughtered all the priests of those high places on the altars and burned human bones on them. Then he went back to Jerusalem. All right, let's take another break right there a minute. How about that? What do you think of that reaction? Josiah hears the book of the law for the first time. What does the Lord do for his heart? He convicts him. Convicts him so much that he tears his robes, right? A sign of grief. A sign that he's troubled. A sign that something is not right and needs to be addressed. How would you describe the effect that that book had on him? That the hearing of God's will, the hearing of God's law, the hearing of God's instruction had on him. How would you describe what we just heard? What happened? How would you characterize Josiah's actions in 2 Kings 23 there? What words, what adjectives would you use? Intense. Okay. What's that? The purge. Okay. Anybody else? Say that again. Driven. Okay. Say that again. Zeal. Anybody else? How would you describe his reaction? His reaction to what he heard and what he saw and what he did. Complete sorrowful. Anybody else? Say that again. Repentance. All right. A moment of clarity, okay? He heard the truth and he knew it. Okay? He heard the truth. He's convicted of it. Right? He knew it. He internalized it. Made it his own. And it caused him to go on a cleaning spree, would you say? Let me rephrase. I'm going to review some of the action words to describe what Josiah did. He removed. He did away with. He tore down. He desecrated. He destroyed. He demolished. He removed. He burned. How would you describe his intensity level? You said intense. I thought the same thing. He was intense. Code what? Code red. Code red. Not green. Not yellow. Not orange, but red. How would you characterize his serious level? His seriousness level? Have you ever run into people this serious? Do you want to be in their way? How about his conviction level? Have you ever been convicted this way, to this degree? Have you heard the truth and has it pierced your heart and your soul in such a way that it causes you to do powerful things? Removal, demolition, destruction. Have you ever been this convicted? What do we read in verse 25? What do we read happened to Josiah when he heard that word? We learn that Josiah turned to the Lord. How? With all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his strength. Is there anything missing there? How did he turn? With all of his heart, with all of his soul, and with all of his strength. When he heard the truth, he repented. That's right, he repented. And what is repentance? It's turning. Lord, I've been going this way, and you've allowed me to see. You've allowed me to see what this is doing to me. And you've convicted of me. Convicted me so much that I need to turn. Not just a soft turn. Just a few degrees left, a few degrees right. No, with all of my heart, with all of my soul, with all of my strength, all of who I am. Lord, you've shown this is the way of destruction. We have turned our back on you. Turn me around, Lord. Turn me around. Josiah was that convicted. And that's what repentance is. It's being convicted so that we turn. And not just a little, but a lot. So much so that we remove, that we destroy, that we burn, that we desecrate, that we tear down those things in our hearts and our lives, in our minds, that are not of Him. You know what? Neither before nor after Josiah, 2 Kings says, was there a king like him who turned to the Lord as he did. How did he turn? He turned the whole way. Heart, mind, and soul. With all of his heart, and with all of his soul, and with all of his strength, did he turn to the Lord's will? When he looked around and he saw all the stuff that they had accumulated, the pagan gods, the temples, the altars, the practices. Right? When he heard this and he looked inside his heart, saw the things that he was hoarding, the things that were filling the cities, filling the places of worship, filling the marketplace, filling the schools, filling the social hangouts. Right? And he compared what he saw with what he heard. He had to do something. He had to do something. That truth affected him in a powerful, powerful way. We hear the same words. We heard the same thing that he heard that day. What effect is it having on us? What about our hearts? What about our souls? Some of you may be thinking, oh, that's that Old Testament law stuff. I'm a New Testament person. I love Jesus. All right. Listen to Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, you have heard it said to the people long ago, do not murder. And anyone who murders is subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother is also subject to judgment. Jesus says, you have heard, do not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You have heard it said, Jesus says, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. You have heard it said, love your neighbors and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. And a little later, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either he's going to hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't have it both ways, he says. How about these words of Paul to us? In Colossians 3, he says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. Not put aside or just put over there, but he says, put to death. Put to death sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, he says, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these. Anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off that old self, and if you have put on a new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge and the image of its creators. Jesus doesn't come at us with softer words. Paul doesn't come at us any softer either. They come so that we can look at our hearts. And we can compare. What is it that we see? What is it that we are carrying? What have we accumulated? Is there clutter? Is there sin in our hearts, in our lives, in our words, in our thoughts, in our actions? If there is, are we willing to do something about it? This morning, we have an opportunity to look inside and to compare, to sit or to stand before our God and say, Lord, what's going on? Lord, help me see. Have I turned away? Am I following other things? Have I replaced you? Have I given up on you? Do I have things in addition to you in my life? Have I begun to hoard other things? One thing about Israel and Judah is They didn't all turn their back completely, but they acquired stuff. Oh, there's some gods here. There's some gods there. A little bit of that, a little bit of this. But Jesus comes and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Through me. Through me, he says. Not through that, or that, or this, or that over there, but through me. We have an opportunity this morning to examine our hearts. To hear again, maybe for the first time, what God's will is for us. And to compare that. As you sit, we're going to sing some songs. As we sing some songs, we have an opportunity to turn, to be convicted, to hear what the Lord has to say to us, and then turn away from it. Maybe some of us are carrying things that we shouldn't be carrying. Maybe we've accumulated some stuff in our hearts that shouldn't be there anymore. Well, today is a day to take decisive action. Today we have an opportunity to say no. No more. And we don't have to accept that invitation. We can keep carrying it. But today is an opportunity to come clean before our God. To sit and to hear. Scattered around the room, there's tables. There's tables with tiles that look like this, and there's markers by those tables. The Lord speaks to you and convicts you. I don't want you to tear your clothes off, but instead, right, I want you to write it. Write it down. Let that conviction go here. Get rid of the things that you've accumulated. In addition to, turn back to Him. Allow God to break you, to break your heart, and to come to Him. He doesn't tell us these things to be mean. He tells us and invites us to life. He's calling us to life. Give up what's killing you. Give up what's beating you down, what's crippling your soul, he says, and come. Get rid of it. Leave it here. Come. So that it may go well with you, and not just with you, but with your children and their children's children. So we're going to sing. We're going to sit in the presence of our God, and we're going to allow Him to speak to us. There's a table there. There's a table there. Back there. And right here. And when you're ready, and you want to get rid of something, by all means, do so. Lord, as we continue our worship of you, just speak to our hearts today.